across the golden avenue. She was the first one to teach me of heaven, and the very first one to tell me about you. Just build my mansion next door to Jesus, and tell the angels I'm coming home. It doesn't matter who lives around me, just so my mansion sits near God's throne. Just build my mansion next door to Jesus, and tell the angels I'm coming home. It doesn't matter who lives around me, just so my mansion sits near God's throne. Just so my mansion sits near God's throne.
Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 31 this morning, please. Proverbs chapter number 31. As you find that, would you stand to your feet? I know we've stood a few times. We're just trying to keep you awake. Not really, just out of respect for the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 31, and we'll read just one verse to begin, but keep your Bibles open as we'll look at a number of verses here this morning. Proverbs 31. And verse number 1, we'll read this one verse. Proverbs 31 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." Would you read that with me, if you would, out loud? Ready and begin. "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." I'm going to preach a message this morning about advice from a mother. And that's not from me, but from the passage here. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the morning, and we thank you for the blessing of the day. And I pray you bless the message today, Lord. Again, thank you for the special day you've given to us and the time to be in your house. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I was joking with the group in Sunday school. I was trying to see how many people I have to hear. I tell the lady Happy Mother's Day, how many ladies would say that back to me, and I was up to 3. And so I was trying to see if I could get any further on that. I wasn't asking for it, but you just kind of automatically deliver and return what was given to you. And so anyway, but as we look at this Mother's Day challenge today, Mother's Day, it's a holiday in honor of mothers. It's celebrated in countries all throughout the world. In its modern form, a holiday, the tradition, it began in the United States, and it was established by Anna Jarvis, who sought to honor her own mother. Her mother taught in a Sunday school class, I believe it was, that she thought there should be a day to set aside a special day to honor mothers. Her mother had passed away, so her daughter Anna took up this challenge. In her mother's dreams to honor mothers and to bring the country together after the Civil War in the early 1900s, and her daughter took the opportunity and established Mother's Day. It first began on May the 12th, 1908. A Mother's Day service was held at Jarvis's late Mother's Church in Grafton, West Virginia. Within 5 years, virtually every state was observing the holiday, and in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson made it a national holiday as it is observed on the second Sunday in May. So that's the history of Mother's Day, a time to set aside a special day to honor our mothers. Because many times mothers are the ones that run around doing everything, that are do the most work in the home, and many times are the least appreciated and taken care of in the homes, and thought we need to make a special day for our moms. As you look in Proverbs 31 and verse number 1, and we'll look at a number of verses throughout this chapter, but as I thought about this message and thought about this day of Mother's Day, and it talks about the words of King Lemuel in 31 verse number 1, it says the prophecy that his mother taught him. You ever think about things that your mother taught you? Things that you do the same thing to this day because your mother taught you how to fold the sheets or how to put your toothbrush in place and all the little things. If you could count the thousands or maybe even millions of things that a mother teaches their children how to do, and how a mother keeps their children alive, because if it was up to dads, we'd be in trouble. You're like, wait, how many kids do we have again? And that's the mothers there to kind of help to keep the house moving and going along. King Lemuel, it's not for sure, but it's believed it could be Solomon, another name for him, not positive. If that is the case, then the words of his mother that taught him is Bathsheba. There's a couple thoughts. It could be others. Whatever the case may be, it was this passage here, as inspired by the Word of God, was written, and the words written down here by inspiration of the Word of God that King Lemuel wrote, the instruction, the prophecy, the words that his mother passed down to him. I thought that was kind of a special way that would be a challenge here. And you look in verse number 2 to verse number 9, and a few opening thoughts that are given here. It says, what, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. She's teaching her son that's a king. Think about that for a minute. She's teaching her son that is ruling a kingdom, but there's someone that has the king's ear, and that's mother. And she's influencing the king and influencing a kingdom. You never know who you're influencing. You never know the next generation that you're raising that will influence others as well. She says this in verse 3 from the Word of God, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of a heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such that are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. You realize that a mother never stops mothering. Doesn't matter your age, your distance, she's going to find you and she's going to give you motherly advice. And I'm not meaning that in a bad way, by the way. But a mother that never stops loving, a mother that never stops caring, a mother that never stops directing her children. You know this, parents, but whether your children are at home, whether they're away, you're constantly thinking about them, wondering where they are, what they're doing, how they are, their kids, their grandkids, and you're always teaching and instructing and influencing that next generation. Much of the book of Proverbs was given by a father instructing a son. My son hear, in the words of a father, the instruction over and over through the book of Proverbs, but it ends with the instruction from a mother to a son, influencing her son as the king. No doubt the king, he had counselors. He had people to advise him on how to rule the kingdom, but mom wanted to give her instruction. No doubt he had all the power to do whatever he wanted to, but mother was influencing this king and directing him as he led the kingdom. Many had taught him, but there was something special about the influence of this mother. We don't know his age, but he was an adult man. But she was influencing this man, repeating the advice that was given. Let's preface the message by saying this. There's no such thing as a perfect mother or father. And there's also no such thing as perfect children. And if you think you have perfect children, they have not grown up old enough to realize they're not perfect. Or you've not been around them enough. But there's no such thing as a perfect parent and a perfect child. So let's kind of throw that one aside for a moment. It's not excusing the wrong that is done in any way, but the right that a mother is teaching and influencing and instructing needs to be listened to. Needs to be listened to. Mother is more than title. Mother is more than a right, but it's a privilege. Mother is a gift from the Lord. Something special about mom and the home. And you know this, dads, if mom leaves the home for a period of time and you're in charge of the kids in the house, things fall apart in moments. It does not take long, and all of a sudden it seems that the house was in such good order, and mom leaves for a moment, and the house just seems like it went in disarray in a minute. in Sunday school, I was reading a few funny sayings, and they say that silence is golden, unless if you're a parent, and then silence is suspicious. And when things get quiet and you've got kids in the home, you think, oh, they're playing so nicely together. And you think, wait, I wonder what they're doing. And you go and check and realize that your perfect child is not so perfect in the back room. They may be playing quietly, but maybe not as nicely as you would have liked. A mother's a gift from the Lord. A mother in the home, a lady in the home, makes the home not just a house, but a home. Right? Something special about a mom and a lady in the home to make that a home. You say, I don't care about how it smells and how it looks and all the stuff, but there's something special when mom and wife puts everything just in the right order, in the right place, to make that home a wonderful place to come home to. The advice that King Lemuel was given from the prophecy of his mother, as we see in the first few verses here, the first one she challenged him about was about women. And you'll see that in this theme continues through most of the book of most of Proverbs 31, as it talks about the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman, and she challenges him in the verse here to not to give his strength unto women, nor his ways to that which destroyeth kings. And she warned him about a few areas, about women and about wine and about wisdom, and gave him some instruction in those first 9 verses. But it continues on from verse 10 to verse 31, this incredible chapter we have about this challenge, as we see in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? There was someone that mom wanted for her son, and there's someone that mom did not want for her son. She is directing, you know, that verse in Proverbs 24, train up a child in the way he should go. And she's still training, she's still teaching and instructing and pointing him in the right way and giving advice to her son that's now a man, but instructing him in the way that he should go. She gives a detailed explanation of what a virtuous woman is, and I believe this. I could not say it from definite, but I would believe that this prophecy given by the mother here was an example that she exemplified, that she showed, and that she was encouraging her son to look for this kind of a woman. And as we think about this on Mother's Day, thinking about the gift of mothers that we have, look at this virtuous woman. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman in verse 10? For her price is far above rubies. Precious, rare, special. Many times we take for granted the things that are most precious to us, don't we? Mother's Day is a time where you set aside to make your mother, your wife, feel special. To feel special, to be loved, to be cared for, to be valued. The Bible says, for her price is far above rubies. You cannot put a price tag on a virtuous and a godly woman. You can't put a price tag on a woman setting the right and a godly and a spiritual example in your home. The Bible says in verse number 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so she shall have no need of spoil. First of all, this godly woman, she is priceless. She should be valued. She should not be trashed and here's my laundry and dump it at her feet. She should be valued. Mom should be treasured. She should be special in the home. In verse number 11, she should be trusted. The Bible says the heart of her husband to safely trust in her, so she shall have no need of spoil. She's trustworthy. She's built the trust and the care in her home. Look at verse number 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She'll do what's right. A godly woman, a godly mother will just do what's right, no matter the circumstances, no matter the time of day. I don't know about you, but there's something in me, when it gets dark, I don't want a parent anymore. I've checked out, and I'm a few moments from passing out, and I'm about to be asleep. I don't want a parent at that time. I really don't. My wife is so wonderful at parenting when it's dark. And I wake up in the morning. You've done this before, Dad. You could raise your hand if you want. You wake up in the morning and you say, the kids slept good through the night, didn't they? And your wife either laughs or scowls at you because you had no idea she was up half the night caring for your children. I did not know that. I was sleeping peacefully through the whole thing. I know I'm supposed to protect our home, but my wife's going to have to wake me up if something happens in the dark of the night to protect our home. I do the early mornings. I'll take care of the kids when it's early. During the night, I don't know what happened. But she'll do right, the Bible says. She'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The Bible says she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. A godly woman is a hard worker. She labors. You think, what'd you do all day at home? Worked hard to keep the home alive and not burnt down, right? Don't ask that question, all right? You know, what have you been doing today? That was the wrong thing to say. You no longer get dinner. It's a frozen pizza. That's all you get. And you better hope there's no poison put in there as well. But she is a hard worker, diligent. In verse number 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. A hard worker, diligent, thrifty, finding things just to make life happen and to keep it going. Diligent in her work. Look at verse number 14. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. I don't know why moms and wives are related to food, but there's something special about it. I like to cook on occasion, and it's mostly the outdoor grilling. That's a man's place to be behind the grill, and I enjoy that. But there's something about mom that just takes care of the home and puts a wonderful meal on the table that brings the family together. There's so much today where families don't gather together anymore, right? Isn't that sad? The kids go to the room and someone sits on the couch and someone eats while they're doing something. I understand the busyness of life. Sometimes you have those moments. But the time of gathering together, there's something about mom and grandmother that brings the family together. You sit down and you have what you hope is a quiet and a peaceful meal. Enjoy your time together. There was laughing. You hope to have a nice meal together and just enjoy the family being together without distractions of TV and cell phones and all the things, and just put it aside and sit together and enjoy being a family. We've lost that today in many ways, haven't we? We're in such a distracted society. We don't just sit down and gather together. You know, a mom and dad, that's your responsibility. Say, kids, you know what? Nope, turn it off, put it away. Don't even bring it to the table. Let's sit together and just enjoy a meal together for a few moments. Life gets busy. Your influence as a parent, as a mother, as a father is for a period of time. Look at verse number 15. She riseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her hands. A godly mother is strong. She works, she labors, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. A godly mother is not looking for not looking to ditch the family, I need to take care of me first and desert your family. That's wickedness. That's wicked. The Bible says that she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. What God has given to you. Satan is so good at telling you it's better somewhere else. Another home, another place. No, what God has given to you is precious. And it's valuable. It's good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's a giver. Mother's a giver, right? The mother goes through the brinks of death to provide life to her children. And there's something about a mom that just is giving and sacrificing for the sake of her family. The Bible says here in verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's cared for those in her home. There's something special about a mom caring for a child. You know, dad, what does dad say? You're fine. You'll live. You're okay. Very compassionate we are. And mom's caring for you. She says, it might be cold today, so bring a sweater. You know, mom can tell the weather better than the weatherman can, you know? And she's caring for those around her. And you think, mom, stop bothering me. That's what mom is there for. She's caring for you. She kept you alive, and she wants to keep that going. The Bible says she maketh herself, in verse 22, coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sitteth among the elders of the land. And she praises her husband, cares for her family. She maketh fine linen, selleth it, delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her what? Blessed. her husband also, and he praiseth her. Hey, you know what? That's a good challenge today for Mother's Day, to praise and honor and lift up those mothers, grandmas, those that have cared and laid down their lives in many ways to care for their home. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband, and praiseth her. Look at verse 29. We'll look at a few couple of verses and have a few thoughts today. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. A godly woman. Advice from mother. I want to give you 3 points this morning. Number one is this: listen to your mother's instruction. You know, the person that's probably listened to the least in the home is probably mother. Pick up your clothes and put the dishes in the sink and all the stuff, and all of a sudden the kid heard, there was like 10 instructions given, and you know what the kid heard? None of them. Not a single one of them. Mother is giving instruction. Why is mom always on my case, kids? Why is mom always on your case? Maybe because we're not listening to the instruction of a mother. No matter your age, you still hear the voice and instruction of your mother. The things that you do today in many ways are because your mother or your father taught you what to do and how to do it. You say, why do we do it? I don't know, because my mother taught me that. I read it this week. Why do you make it this way? I don't know, because mother did it. I read a story about a lady that was, I think she was making some ham, and she would always cut up in pieces, and they'd ask the one, why do you do it? And she said, I don't know, because my mother did it that way. So they went to the mother and said, well, why do you cut it up and put the ham in the pot that way? I don't know, because my mother did it. So they went from the daughter to the mother. Now they went to the grandmother and said, why do you cut the ham up and put it in a pot like that? She said, because my pot wasn't big enough. Something that your mother taught you, and you just do it because that's the way that mother did it, so it must be the right way to do it. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. I don't know if these are the right things to say, but we've heard versions of these in some ways. Not me, but my siblings did. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. There's a whole lot more we could go through. My mother taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. We could go into many, many more, but true instructions that your mother, the instruction of a mother that she has passed down to you. You say, my mother didn't do things all perfect and right. There's not a single one that did, but she taught you a lot of things that were right. If you have a godly mother that taught you about the ways of the Lord, taught you and told you about Jesus Christ, many, many heard first about the Lord from their mother, their grandmother, someone that sat them and taught them down the Word of God and taught them about the things of the Lord, the things that you were taught that is right. Listen to those. Listen. You say, but I'm old and or my parents are gone, but there's still instruction that sticks with you in your mind and your heart that a mother has passed down to you. Listen to the instruction from a mother. Listen. Love the Lord. What is she trying to teach you? To love God. To love God. To love God's word. To love and to care for others. The instruction that's been passed down that we should take and pass it on to others. A message from a mother first is this: listen to the instruction that's given. Listen. You're never too old to receive instruction. We shouldn't be. We should never be too old to not listen to the instruction of those that are older and wiser and those that can pass something down. The younger generation doesn't want to listen to the older generation today. That's foolishness. There's a lot of wisdom to learn if you'll stop and sit quiet and listen to the instruction being passed down. Listen to the instruction passed down. Number two, honor your mother. Honor. We looked at that in verse number 28. It says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Honor your mother. Honor your mother or your wife that's a mother as well. To honor them. To honor is this: to value or to reverence. To honor. You know, to honor your father and your mother, that's one of the Ten Commandments. That must be pretty special. If God put that in the Ten Commandments, to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's part of one of those things. I can bring you in the world and take you out. You don't honor your father and your mother, God will not bless. And the Bible says that God will curse you for not honoring your father and mother. Honor them. Honor them. Honor the right that they invested in your life. Honor that. Your mom ever told you that? I taught you better than that. Well, listen. Honor thy mother and thy father. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 5:16, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor the mother that God has given to you. Honor the right that she has taught you. And the best way to honor that is to follow and to listen to the example that she gave to you, and to follow and to do that with your life. That's the best way to honor your mother. Honor the sacrifice that was given to you. Then thirdly, this morning is this. Not only should we listen to the advice of a mother, but we should honor our mothers. But then number three is to teach what your mother taught you, to pass it along to the next generation, to take the instruction that your mother has passed down to you and to pass it on to your children. We have so much of a generation today that wants to rewrite the rules for everything. And somehow we all know better than the previous generations. And we're recovering from all the wrong that's been done to us. You know, there's a lot of right that's been passed down to you. And many times young people want to throw it away. Young couples want to throw away the instruction that's been given to them because we know better than everyone else. Well, that's foolishness. We look to the Word of God, and you look to the right that's been taught to you, and you pass that along to the next generation. Your mother taught you the Word of God. Well, you teach your children the Word of God. Your mother taught you about heaven. You teach your children about heaven. What a disgrace it would be to be raised in church, to be raised to know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, to know the Word of God, to be raised in the house of God, to take that and to not pass it on to your children. How sad would that be? I believe the best way that you can honor your mother today is by living and doing what's right. Because mom's always watching. No matter how old you are, mom's going to find out. Probably because your sibling is going to tell on you somehow. But mom will find out. I know the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, but so is mom's as well. Eyes in the back of the head. You never know what you can get in trouble for, even when you're a grown adult, right? You know? Mom finds out, and you're like, she's like, go to your room. You know, I'm sorry, Mom. But you teach what your mother taught you. You take what you've been given, that heritage you've been given, that you've been passed down, and you take that and you do what's right. You follow the right that you've been given. You pass that on to the next generation. Let's not take that and throw it away. We've had a lot of investment in our lives, haven't we? There's no self-made person. There's been a lot of investment in my life, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of love, a lot of care, a lot that have taught me, and that's much from my parents, grandparents, others that help to instruct. May we take what we've been given and continue that. May we take what we've been given and not try to rewrite the Word of God and rewrite the right that we've been taught, but to take the instruction we've been given and to continue. This chapter here is the words that a mother taught to her son that was a king. You'd hope that your children are listening when you speak to them, especially when you're trying to give them wisdom and teach them right. Too many times, they're too busy. They don't want to stop. They're trying to get them still for a moment. Say, would you just listen? I want to help you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Please, we'll have an invitation time this morning. I don't know what the Lord spoke to your heart about today and didn't preach about this matter, about your salvation much, but if you don't know for sure that you're saved, if you don't know for sure that heaven is your home, it was sung about today. If you don't know heaven is your home, wouldn't you like to know that today? Wouldn't you like to know that the Lord is your heavenly Father? You're not a Christian because you come to church. You're not a Christian because you do right. You're not a Christian and going to heaven because your parents were. You become a Christian, you're saved by accepting Jesus Christ into your heart. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you don't know that you're saved today, wouldn't you like to know that? We could show you in a few moments how you can know that from the Word of God. not by what our church says, but by what the Word of God says about salvation. If you don't know that you're saved, we'll have an invitation time in a moment, and Brother James will be in front of this pulpit here. If you would come and take him by the hand or catch his eye, and we'd love to show you from the Word of God.